Good morning and welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, Chai FM. The time is now 9:09. And we're here at a beautiful new air-conditioned studio. On this beautiful Thursday morning. A little bit chilly this morning, but here in the studio, it's quite warm.
They've manipulated the air conditioning, so it's not too cold and it's not too hot.
But still, Zinati is wearing... Like she came up from the from Alaska.
Well, she got up very early, and you're sitting there in your t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like it's summer in the Caribbean.
I promise you, maybe I'm on a menopause. Is that like when a man is on menopause in his late 50s?
It's a men that pause, you see.
I thought it's a woman that opposes men. That's why they develop. a menopause. Men oppose. We opposing men. That's kind of thing. So who do we have with us? First of all, my name is Roy Peretz, and then we've got with us Peter Feldman. How are you doing, Peter?
It is great. Nice to wake up in the morning early and listen to the birds coughing. And I must say, the highway was free. There weren't that many cars traveling.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was nice.
There's no business. Where are they going to go?
You're right, there's no business. In the afternoon,
everybody's complaining.
Everyone's complaining. I mean, it's tough economic times at the moment. And South Africa lost again in cricket to India.
Is it?
6 wickets. They haven't won a match yet. They played 3 matches, lost 3 matches. They play the West Indies on Monday. I can't see them winning against the West Indies. Their key bowler, Dale Steyn, is out. They should never have taken him along. He's injured. Yeedy's also out for a while. He pulled out, I think, hamstring. So it's not looking good. And Faf du Plessis has to rally the troops and give them some encouragement. It's tough times, even on the cricket field.
What can I say? You know what? I wish that's going to be our biggest problem as South Africans, that our cricket is not that great.
We also got 2 movie tickets to give away again.
Oh, we give Metra. Us an attitude.
So yes, we got two movie tickets.
So before we're going to go to the movie tickets, don't forget our telephone numbers, our WhatsApps anyway. 061-895-1019. So 061-895-1019 will cost you nothing, but... If you SMS 34519, it will cost you $1.50, but in any case, it's 150. Who do we have more with us? We have Moshe Starograd, the sore loser from Saturday night. And how are you doing?
Very well, very well.
Are you recovering?
From what?
From the loss on,
As long as you didn't put any money on the match.
Let me tell you one thing.
Yeah?
Liverpool won. They didn't win.
They didn't win. I promise you, I've seen them.
They didn't win because they played terrible.
Let me tell you something. Liverpool was in Barcelona. We really, really played much better, 10 times better than Barcelona. We held the ball 65% of the time. We were playing better. We really played better, but we got 3 goals. For me, at the end of the day, a football game.
Secondly, let me tell you one thing.
Yeah.
The law. The way I saw it, and I know a little bit about soccer, not much, but a little bit. First of all, the second goal was an offside.
Second goal was up. How was the offside?
I'll tell you who. Not the kicker, not Orgy. Mane was on offside, or the Pacific offside.
I don't know. If in any case, the game, the second goal wouldn't make a difference. The 88 minutes, you know.
In the olden days, this would not be no goal, but anyway,
doesn't matter. In 88 minutes, that
goal,
wouldn't make a difference.
You know, he gave it into his hand. You know, it was a kick.
You know,
You don't agree with the first penalty.
You cannot agree. Now you got the VAR. I mean, you cannot
agree. That's right. And then you don't agree with the second.
Losers are like this. Always sore losers.
Look at this, and then you see. You know what's been Pacific offside? Pacific offside is that you stay in offside, you don't kick the ball, you don't have the goal. I've got the ball, but you're in offside, it's also an offside.
Even no, it's not. Kick the no, ball. No,
it's not. Called Pacific offside.
It's not. Unless you disturbing the goalkeeper making a move or you're making an effort to go for the ball, that all those things are.
But anyway, I was very surprised because Tottenham played very well. They should have won. So I'm not so upset. You know, I would be very upset if they play very bad.
Badly.
But they played nice. They played better than Liverpool.
Well, I wish we're going to always play bad and always win. So for me, I think we won a fair and square. Although, if you look at the year before when we lost against Real Madrid, I think we played 10 times better than Real Madrid. But our goalkeeper dropped the balls twice. Twice he gave them the ball. He gave them the ball twice. So, I don't know, it was 3-1, but it was really stupid.
And remember,
and he took down, Mohamed Salah, took him down by the arm. This was almost a jiu-jitsu turn, how he took him down, and he didn't get a red card. He didn't get him a yellow card. So, I don't know.
And that was a key fact in the match.
100%.
Because he was out.
100%.
And he was out for quite a while.
Yes.
And you remember years ago when Brendan Rodgers was manager of Liverpool?
Yeah.
And we were on track to win the title?
Yeah.
And Gerrard was on the way. He slipped.
Yeah.
And the ball went to Chelsea.
Yes.
And they scored.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that moment. It's still there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Gerrard. Yeah.
That's what happens in football. You can never tell. That's what makes the game so fascinating.
100%. 100%. You know what? I'm not even worried about too much of this VOR because I think VOR will be a little bit...
That's coming into the league next year, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's coming to the league. But they're doing it not so bad. They're not doing it bad like they were planning before. Before there was like stopping the game, watching the VOR. Right now, it's quite instant.
So they're going to let
it
play,
wasn't really... Yes. Holding the flow of the game. Anyway, this is soccer for you. The time is now 9:15 and I really want to, I want something for South Africa anyway. I want them to think about like I do. I don't know if you remember the song, Come Together from the Beatles. And I'm really asking from people to come together because it's a little bit of tough times and let's come together. We're back once again. And Peter Feldman, Moshe Staugrad, and myself, Roy Perret. The time is now 9:20. And we're here to talk about someone says, Viva South Africa. It's from M. All right. Viva South Africa. As long as we're not getting into a state of anarchy, and we talked about it now, a state of complete disorder.
Confusion. Anger.
Disorder. Looks like people stop believing in the police. I mean, it's when government stops really protecting the people or don't have the power or don't have the means to protect the people anymore. So basically state of anarchy. Oh, really hope it's not going to happen. Right now at this stage, it looks like it's going the right direction.
Oh, well, let's take a minds of something and read a
couple. Do we have a readout?
We've got two readouts.
All right, go for it.
In these challenging times, many people are under pressure, and for some it can all become too much. What does one turn to, or who does one turn to? Chai FM will be starting a helpline later this year, and we are looking for compassionate, caring volunteers to train as call center counselors. If you have a background or an interest in counseling and you want to find out more, email helpline@chaifm.com. Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of serving the community. And then there's people who want to go to the supermarket. There's the Norwood supermarket. We were there the other day, remember?
Yeah.
Spend 100 rand or more at the Pick and Pay Kosher Deli or Kosher Bakery and stand a chance to win. First prize is 1,000 rand Pick and Pay gift card. Second prize is a 500 rand Pick and Pay gift card. All you have to do is write your name and contact details on the back of your till slip and drop your slip off in the box at the information counter. Draws will take place this coming Thursday, which is today actually. Today it's going to happen. So if you can do that, you may be a winner.
So thank you so much, Peter. So what do you say? I don't know what are we doing from here forward? How are we repairing that
and, how do we repair a damage? How do we overcome it? I mean, you've got a new cabinet in place. You've got Ramaphosa now given the okay to go ahead and do his reforms or whatever, bring in what he promised the nation.
Yeah.
He's got to start doing it now. We've got to see what is going on. I mean, there's infighting. You've got Ace
What's happening with Ace?
Well, he seems to be causing problems.
Again?
I mean, he says one thing about the Reserve Bank, and then they deny it. They said, no, it's not true. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to undermine Cyril?
I don't know. He's talking about printing money. That's what I... Now, printing money equals inflation. I mean, when you print money,
look what happened to Zimbabwe. Look what happened to the South American countries. You can't just start printing money.
Yeah, you can't print money.
It's like pulling money off a tree.
Yeah, no, you can't. When you print money, if you got one money, if you got the one apple, and you print another apple, it says you still got one apple. One of them is printed. So basically, you're taking the same amount of wealth you have, and you print more money, meaning your money is become worth less and less and less. The more money you print, the less
it means.
The less it's worth. So yeah, the rand, I remember when I came in 31 years ago, was worth about 1.90 to the dollar. That was 31 years ago.
And to the pound, Roy? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember the pound.
2-1.
It was almost 2-1, yes.
No, the pound was more. The pound was like 2.50 maybe to 1.
I'm talking about
31 years ago, you're talking. In 1988.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
When I came to this country, it was $1.45 to the rand. 80 cents.
Yeah.
When did you come here, Roy?
76.
He came hands with with Van Riebeck.
That's why he's got such a long beard.
Yeah.
When I went overseas for the first time in 71, it was a double. It was one rand, it was £2 or something, £2 to the rand, I think. It was my first overseas trip in 1971. I couldn't go overseas before because I had to do my military service.
Really?
And they wouldn't allow us out of the country if you signed up.
For sure.
I did 9 months, and then after that I had to do one camp every year for 5 years.
Only nine months?
One camp, yes. It was the first intake. I was in the early intake in 64.
Oh.
Then they extended it, Roy, to a year, and then it became 2 years. And then, you know, all the stuff hit the fan, and South Africa was involved with the Cubans and Angola and the terrorists, and the war started, and South Africa went down one way. Bad time.
Yeah, shame. You know what? To be honest with you, I don't like looking at it, but, you know, they say, my grandfather used to say, if you look back, you'll never go forward.
Good.
So if you say, I should have done, would have done, whatever. Whatever was.
That.
Yeah, whatever was. But we have to... We have to remember, and we have to see, okay, what mistakes would we made? Let's see how we can come out of them. And the idea of coming out of our mistakes, not our, like my mistakes, I don't know. I mean, to get out of my marriage, it's impossible. But I'm talking about mistakes that the government made. The mistakes the government made to get out of them, it needs a lot of money.
Yeah, where they're getting
and
it from.
Money that South Africa doesn't have. So I don't see much of, especially when you got people like Malema in government, and not in government, sorry, in opposition to what? Opposition to what? What is it?
But he doesn't come through with any real recommendations.
No, it's only anti that and anti that. There's no recommendations.
You know, give land to the people. I mean, the people. There's so many unemployed. There's not enough people contributing through tax.
And you know, the joke is, no one really wants land in the middle of the Karoo. They don't want land there. They want land in Johannesburg. They want land next to where there's a job. But they don't understand. You're going to give people land here. And then the people that own the land will leave the country. They're going to go somewhere else. And then what will happen is they're not going to have no land, no jobs.
I find fascinating, the news has come out that in Atlantis, in the Cape, the government or the city has donated land so that a Canadian company can start growing cannabis for medicine, for medicinal use.
Okay.
So they're going to be the first province in South Africa to legally grow dacha. That's basically it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Whatever we can do to make this economy grow, it's good. Whatever we do. But there's few things that they have to do. They have to make sure that we don't have that the crime is at least slows down. I'm not saying stop, it's going to be a problem, but at least slows down the crime, a little bit of crime, a little bit of reversing the unemployment problem. I mean, we're sitting it's a state of emergency, sitting at 27%. They say 27, I say 40% unemployment. Sitting at such a high unemployment, it's a problem, man. You must do something. Now get up and do something. In Zulu they say vuku zenzile, so I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they say in English. I don't know what other words to say. Get up and do something, man.
Have you noticed how many family murders there are? Fathers murdering their children despite their ex-wives or their girlfriends.
Really?
It's been endemic. I mean, it's getting worse.
Really?
I mean, the other day, a guy hanged his three children.
What?
Yes. And then he hanged himself. The funeral was yesterday.
He should have done it either way around.
And then a week ago, there was another scene where a father got rid of his children despite his ex-wife or his girlfriend. There's so much anger out there, Roy. It's unbelievable.
Depression.
It's stress. It's all stress related.
Do you think it's depression?
I think so. Because otherwise, you know, you come to a stage that maybe you cannot support anymore, and you know, and you lack nothing, you're depressed.
So you're not earning anything.
You kill your family. It's not that you wanted to, it's just maybe a state. It's a depression.
And then now the government is putting out messages to say, we can help you. Please don't do this. Please contact us.
Do they say that?
Well, that's what they said on radio. You know, if you're going to believe the news that the ANC or the government are putting out.
I do believe they do. They've got some systems.
That, you know, we can help you, but you need a lot of counselors to deal with the problem at the moment. And we don't have that many counselors who are, you know, trained to deal with the kind of problems we have. You know, you got these people from the urban areas coming into the city looking for work.
Yeah.
So that just exacerbates the whole situation. It gets worse.
Yeah.
Where do you go? What do you do? I mean, I told you a couple of days ago, I went to this area in town, which I hadn't been to for many years. And I couldn't believe the deterioration. It's like one third world country, totally.
It is crazy. Yeah. What's happening now? It's really, really crazy. I don't know that we're going. How are we going to come out of it? I mean, you need like a bottle opener to do
like that.
You're not getting out, yeah. And then start doing something. Something has to change, but something dramatically has to happen before a change will take place. I don't think that the problem was. We had Zuma for 10 years, for 9 years, 10 years,
9 years,
9 years, mm-hmm. and one year we had that other one that. What's his name?
Halema
Motlanthe.
Yeah, Halema Motlanthe was there for 1 year, but he was under, I'm sure he was exactly.
No, he was just standing in.
Zuma light. Yeah. He was just a Zuma there. So, yeah, standing up for
Zuma light, I like that. Yeah, not the real thing.
No, it was controlled by Zuma, so, I think after 10 years of Zuma, I think the state needs some sort of.
But look what's coming out of the state capture. Are you reading any of the news?
I am, but you know.
I mean, Zuma was involved with the ANN7. He ruled it. Yeah. I mean, every day he tell them what news goes out, what they got to do, the interference.
For sure, don't you know? I mean, you have
many,
to, if you
many years ago, the NAT government, Eshel Rudy, who was involved in the slush fund, put out money to buy the Citizen newspaper in 1976.
Okay.
And the Nats were going to use the Citizen the same way that Zuma was using...
ANN7.
Yes, a 100%. New Age newspaper.
100%.
And I remember there was a whole outcry. Eshel Rudy was fired, the whole Connie Mulder, he was one of the ministers at that time, Roy. It was amazing. That they bought the Citizen. People wouldn't read the Citizen because they said it was the mouthpiece for the Nationalist Party.
It's exactly the same way ANN7. ANN7, it was known, it was a Gupta TV.
It was a Gupta-owned company.
Yeah, so.
And they wanted to buy other newspapers, and they just said no. And so they decided, once the Guptas were involved, to create their own.
The New Age used to be there.
The New Age was the newspaper, was a morning newspaper. Which served them, it served the ANC. Their headlines was, there was no news, it was propaganda. And that's what ANN...
And one more thing, what he did, Zuma, he encouraged all the ministers to have breakfast on the ANC 7.
Yeah.
That, you know, this, that's how the money came in. That, you know, that every minister had the breakfast, you know, and do everything on the TV, and that's how they made money.
You know, it makes actually, in every country, there's the ruling party has a newspaper. In Russia, they've got Pravda, the name Pravda in Russian is the truth.
Truth, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing
to do with the truth.
It's got nothing to do with
just the
truth.
Just the name.
Yeah, it's just the name is the truth. So Pravda is the national newspaper at the time of the Soviet Union. And, it was the party's, newspaper. In proper democratic countries you don't have, because 99% of newspapers are opposition to government.
That's right.
So it's not really propaganda.
That's what they got to do.
Yeah, they have to expose. But what's happening here, it doesn't matter. You know, you got a great TV program, like for instance, Carte Blanche. For me, I love Carte Blanche. It's really a nice one. Investigative. It shows you some what's bad, what's good. But the problem with this, there's no one to carry on and continue enforcing what they find out. If they find out that I don't know if it's Esma Khashula, I don't remember, was stealing from the milk farm. Do you remember milk
yes,
farm?
Yes.
Yeah. What have they done? They're exposed. What have they done? Nothing happens. He's the vice president for heaven's sake. I mean,
he's secretary general.
So whatever he is, you know, he's in very high position. He's the second highest.
Yeah.
Second highest position.
He should have been gone.
He should have been behind bars.
I mean, all of them, yes, you know, in a first world country, you cannot sit in a position and you're doing, you know, something against, you know, that it's against the law.
Yeah, you can't be a criminal. It's very simple. You cannot be a criminal and, convicted. No, but he wasn't convicted. He wasn't convicted, so we can't even call him a criminal.
So how can you have any faith in the government that does that?
I actually don't know, to be honest with you.
And the question is, Roy,
how
do you want a person from overseas to read the newspapers and listen to you on the radio and then invest money here?
That's something we must discuss. You know, how do you do that? We can do that. We're gonna come back with some beautiful. We're gonna talk about the new movies coming out, and we're gonna have another 2 tickets to give away. And please listen to us. Don't forget our telephone numbers, our WhatsApp numbers. Anyway, it's 061-895-1019. SMS is to 34519. It will cost you $1.50. And I've got something very special for you guys. This is this song. They told him it's not going to be a hit, and it was like one of the biggest hits ever. Nothing Rhymes by Gilbert O'Sullivan. And we're back. The time is now, what is it, 9:40. It's
20 to 10
already. And time flies when you're having fun. So here in the beautiful South Africa, we're sitting talking about the things of the day, first of all. We're going to finish with movies, the things of the day, we were talking about the value of houses. And the value of houses, they say in Glenazel alone, there's like 88 properties which are people want to sell. And apparently there's no
movement, there's no offers.
There's no offers. Maybe, Moshe, it's because, and you've been in business all your life, maybe it's because people asking too much, or maybe the property values are not like they're asking for.
And secondly, there's no bonds. The value is overpriced.
Yeah.
And you know how it is, you know.
Now, how do you determine?
The house is worth the offer you get.
Yeah. That was always my motto. You know, people come to say, listen to me, that watch is worth 100,000 rands. And how can you only offer me 20? I said to him, a watch is only worth, or anything is only worth, what the next guy is prepared to pay for.
Absolutely.
It. This is it. So if you purchase your house pre-2007, when everything was booming here, I mean, that was Tabombe. I can't believe it that I'm actually missed that bloody guy. I'm actually missing Tabombe, can you believe it or not? After Zuma, you can miss flies. I mean, you can miss cockroaches. Yeah, anyway. So, I'm missing Tabombe. And Tabombe said to us that, when he was ending his presidency, we had actually a very good stretch with him from 99 till 2000 and, when was it? Eight.
Well, Zuma came in 2009.
So till 2008 he was there. So yeah, so 2008 as well. 2007, I think it was the world problems. We had the big problems where the United States find themselves with the pants down, where with the economy problems and with the Lehman Bank went down, the Lehman Brothers bank went down, and so. Anyway, South Africa was, we thought it was immune from that, and we didn't see that problem and whatever. But 2006, up to 2006, from 2001 to 2006, we had really a very high boom in South Africa. When it comes to building, everybody was building, everybody was very positive that things are happening here, and things were going, I mean, well, although the crime was not that great, but things were going well, and then they brought us the NCR, which is the National Credit Regulatory. that stopped people from borrowing money because they were thinking about their future. But what happened in subsequently, what happened was that they stopped developing. And when you stop developing the country, you stop developing completely. And if there's no building, there's basically no money generating, and there's no turnover in the country. And I think that's where economy starts stopping. And the only thing which is right now, the only building that's coming up, it's big companies that are building office buildings and office
insurance companies.
Insurance companies. They don't have where to hide their money anymore.
They're because they got the money. They're the only people who got the getting money.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you look, let's say Centon.
Yeah.
It's only maybe about 60% occupancy.
Yeah. Offices,
maybe,
definitely.
Yes, I think so.
Definitely. And it's getting less and less because there's so many offices coming up.
That's right.
So what I'm trying to say is, and to the people from Glenazer, guys, it doesn't matter. If you bought a house for 6, 7, 8 million rands, doesn't make a difference. I mean, if you want to sell it for 2 million. But because you know that you can buy exactly the same house for 2, 3 million somewhere else. I mean, this is it.
Roy,
I
put my house on the market in April.
Yeah.
It's now June.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people come around to have a look at it. But we haven't had one firm offer.
Why didn't you drop the price?
We are going to drop the price. I think we're going to have to. But we'll just want to see where it's going. But no one seems to have any money. They come, they like the house, but,
people are saying before the elections. No, they're waiting for the elections. What they're waiting for? What? What is it going to happen?
It's going to change.
Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. I mean, something really massive must happen. Yeah. Must be an outside involvement or something like that. Because I'm sorry, you know, people say I'm always talking bad. I'm talking bad. I love South Africa. That's why I'm feeling so bad about it. I'm feeling bad because it's going to be a state of anarchy here. Really, it is, guys. It's getting there anyway. So, yeah. So I'm very, very worried about it. Let's talk about funny things or good things. And for that, let's do some movies. What do you think? Can we do some movies?
I think it's a great idea.
All right. So before we do that, let's go for that one.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
The movie review with Peter Feldman. So what are you saying, Peter?
Roy, we've got three movies opening tomorrow, and I think the big one is Rocket Man. That's the Elton John story. Rocket Man is a bright and bold and boisterous movie that hits the right notes most of the time. However, Sir Elton John's dramatic life story doesn't always work because of the director, who's Dexter Fletcher's cinematic style. It falls between two stools. It's not a serious enough tell-all biopic. I mean, he went through some very, very dark moments with his gay love and his alcoholism and his drug-taking. So it's a dark subject, and it's not a fully-fledged musical, though the characters, most of them are thinly drawn, break into song at the drop of a hat. I think his fans are going to enjoy it because there's a lot of music. He wrote some great songs with Bernie Taupin. And the two characters, the actors who play these two main key factors, are Taron Egerton, who's been in Kingsman and he's been in other movies. He is fantastic. He's absolutely brilliant. He captures the whole vibe of Elton John, the flamboyancy, his gay feelings, his relationship with his parents, which wasn't very good. So he's wonderful. And Jamie Bell plays Bernie Taupin, who was Elton's longtime writing partner. So the question I want to ask our listeners, and we're going to give away two tickets to New Metro, is who plays the lead role as Elton John in this movie Rocket Man? And I just want to say that our winners can go to the VIP, the 2D or 3D movies, but they can't see anything in the Extreme or the 4DX. And they can't see a film on the week of release. They cannot book online via their Mobi codes because the winners will get a Mobi code. I'll contact them personally, give them the Mobi codes, and they can take the Mobi codes to the box office at New Metro and give the Mobi codes. Tell them that they are a high winner on our show, and these are the Mobi codes, because people can actually get Mobi codes online and pay for it. There's a difference here.
Okay, so 061-895-1019. 034519, and the question is?
Who plays the lead role in Rocket Man?
Who plays the lead role in Rocket Man? Rocket Man, just to remind you, it's the Elton John story, basically.
It's Elton John's story. And
A lot of songs there?
Oh, yes. It's crowded with songs. They show him writing them, he's performing them on stage. His first trip to the Troubadour in Los Angeles when he was so scared he was sick that he couldn't get on stage. And he said, I can't do this. And eventually he went on stage. And it was amazing scenes. I mean, all the big stars of the time were crowded into the Troubadour. It was the place to be. It was on Sunset Boulevard, and all the big names used to come in and see the new acts. And Elton was starting to cause some ripples in England, and then suddenly he went over to America, and
you can say he's a great star now for the last 45 to 50 years. Yeah.
He came out of Sun City. I interviewed him twice. I mean, really. He was an amazing guy. I mean,
he's an amazing guy.
I liked him. You know, he was full of good quotes. He seemed very down to earth then. Very engaging personality.
Is he funny?
He's very funny. Yes, he's self-deprecating. You know, he tells jokes about himself.
Okay, that's
and,
bad.
Unfortunately, on his opening night in 83.
He's superfluo.
Well, they did the concert in front of the Valley, the palace.
And apparently the weather was...
It was raining. It was miserable. There was lightning strikes. Yo. And he couldn't perform. I mean, it was raining on stage. So after about three or four numbers, he went off. He couldn't perform. And he was angry. And there were no interviews. You couldn't meet him afterwards.
It's crazy. And apparently he just left. And people pay good money to see
good
him.
Pay good money. I think they pay them back. Well, they offered
no, they didn't.
They didn't.
They didn't
pay,
they didn't
them,
pay
back.
Them back. No.
Wow.
Now, one of my best friends were there. It's just,
oh,
no,
really?
It was ridiculous.
It's interesting. Because when Queen cancelled, when Freddie Mercury was there with Queen, and he lost his voice, and they couldn't do the concert, they had to pay these guys out.
Yeah, that's understandable.
That's different, I think.
But as well, I mean, people leave, you know, they go up to Sun City, they book a hotel, the weekend, they go to see, and then suddenly that guy, this toupee flies and he gets upset. I mean, really. Moshe, what are you saying? Give us some good news. What do you think will happen here?
Well, we have to be positive. We have to be positive, boy.
We have to be. No, 100%. Yeah, I mean, 100%. But I think with the positivity, positive, you must be inside. But you have to keep and nagging about the negative things that are happening in South Africa.
That's
do not think because of positive everything will come right. No.
That's why a good opposition party nags the government. But in this country, you know, as you said, you know, we got some opposition that they don't really care. A good government must have a strong opposition.
100%.
That's how you govern. Watching him and see what he's doing wrong. And he's trying to correct
you keep them on their toes. I mean, look what's happening in Britain right now. I mean, Theresa May is resigning, I think, tomorrow. And they think Boris Johnson might come in as the new Prime Minister. Donald Trump has been in London and saying a few things about the mayor.
I understand.
You understand. You're a great Donald Trump supporter.
Yeah, I am a great Donald Trump supporter.
Why?
I support everyone. I support everyone that cares about people. And at least he has whatever he said before his elections. That's exactly what he's doing now.
That's right.
He's not lying to anybody. He's a straightforward shooter. And I think Donald Trump has been the greatest president America ever had.
Absolutely.
Maybe from Abraham Lincoln.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you,
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Whatever he says, he does.
Yeah.
And he says America first, and that's what he's doing.
100%.
You can see America's booming.
America is booming. You know what? I was there in America, and I tried to open a bank account, and about 2013, I think. 2014, somewhere in there. I tried to open bank account, and what happened? They say, nah, you can't open bank account. And then my son went to work in America, and I went to open bank account. They said to us, well, I want to open bank account. They said, you want to open a bank account in America? Sure. I thought it's a big problem. So no, sit down. Just in 2 seconds, open your bank account. Big difference. Big difference, my friend. So anybody that wants to open a bank account in America, you can now.
You got to have the funds.
No, it doesn't matter. You can have $50. You don't have to have $1 billion.
I know.
Whatever you want, you can open a bank account in America. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to us this week. Hopefully next week something will happen in this country, and we will be the first one to say that something good is happening in the country.
We shoot from the hip, Roy.
We are looking for a magic wand, Speedy Gonzalez.
We're looking for a magic wand, and I think as well, I think that it's all us at the end of the day, how we take in it. You know, if we're good people and we can be good for our neighbors, I mean, one works with
one
the other,
thing,
and
one more thing, Roy, you're putting awareness, and it's good what you're doing. People, you know, you say something, so somebody is maybe registered in it. Yes, something is happening. Somebody cares. Somebody's opening his mouth.
Yeah. I must say, thank you so much for listening to us. For myself, Roy Peretz, from Peter Feldman and Moshe Stargard, thank you so much. The time now, 7 minutes to 10 o'clock. And We're gonna end up with a little bit of fun about Eitan's height and a nice song. And
thanks.
You know, let's do the song first. And
cheers, everybody.
Yeah, let's do the song first, and then we can do that other one. Eh? What do you think?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, so the song can great for every morning.
Ain't no sunshine.
Ain't no sunshine, guys. Have a lekker day.